Hello and welcome to 2000 and Sec. My name is Casey.
And I'm Jason.
We're here to do a podcast for your ass.
Number 15, bitches.
Woo!
That's right.
Welcome. Welcome.
I hope you all enjoy. We have a lot of big stuff.
A lot of big stuff. WWDC.
The Worldwide Developers Conference. Apple's,
yes, yes.
Big conference of the year where they announce the iPhone. The new one each year.
No shortage of jabs taken in Google, which was to be expected, and I was quite interested to see.
Yeah, yeah. Although the jabs taken at Google seemed more far-fetching and desperate than the jabs that Google took at Apple.
Yes, the jabs Google took were
legit.
Yeah. You could explain them, and they were witty and smart and funny and. The worst part was they were true.
Yeah, exactly.
And Google, I think Apple embellished a little bit.
Took a lot of things out of context.
Yeah, so lies, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
And,
it's the topic of our first segment. Lies. It's all fucking lies.
But the WWDC, Steve Jobs' keynote, I thought was pretty good.
It wasn't bad. I'll tell you, this is the first year that I've actually been more excited about Google I.O. conference, which was pretty dull last year.
Yep.
But I still sat through and watched it. But this is definitely the first year I have been way more excited about their conference than I was at the WWDC. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed the Google I.O. presentations far much more than the Apple presentation.
We're entering a great time where these conferences are starting to be aired live. For instance, the I.O. was live on YouTube.
Right.
Now, obviously, the live blogs still take precedence on the WWDC, but hopefully Apple will meet the demand and start doing this live.
They used to, and then they stopped it a while back. I guess they just didn't feel like messing
with
the bandwidth and shit.
Yeah.
So,
We got that going on, and then E3 is next week. So I'm really liking all this, live coverage for, the way technology works in this day and age, you need a freaking live conference every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Let people know what's going on.
Yeah. It's good shit.
It is good shit.
And, of course, you will be on vacation next week.
I will be.
In beautiful,
sunny Florida. Be enjoying
E3
from the beach.
Yes. From the oil-filled beach of the Gulf Coast.
Hey, I'll bring you back a tarball.
There you go. Just bring some Dawn dish soap, pour that shit in there, clean off a couple animals while you're at it.
Yes, I will be on the troll for some oil-ridden animals.
Everyone should boycott BP gas.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying.
If people still go to the gas station. I've not been since all this happened, but I think that is a good place to start. Start boycotting the gas stations.
Oh, absolutely. I use Kroger gas and
there
Shell.
There you go.
I'm not going to do that. But this is not a political podcast or a current events podcast of just regular news. This is tech news, baby.
This is tech news, baby!
So let's rock
Woo!
It. Let's All right. Before we jump in, obviously the big thing about the WWDC was the iPhone 4, which we got, leak shots of from Gizmodo, Jason Chen, and good luck to all of them with their legal battles. But, there's some good stuff. Some good stuff coming out with the iPhone 4, but I want to take a look at a little bit about how it's run as opposed to, let's say, Google I.O. And one of the good things was, and I think this was said by Sarek, was that, all the good seats at the WWDC are reserved for the media. And in fact, there were Apple bouncers basically kicking out regular attendees, to make room for the media. Whereas at the Google I.O., they save the seats for I.O. attendees. Just people that attended, every year, and they had the prime real estate, the prime seats,
Right.
And I think that's just, I think that just says something about the company itself.
Yeah, Apple wants to cater to the media. Because they want that free press.
Guess who didn't get invited to WWDC?
Well, I know Jason Chen was not
invited
personally.
Neither was anyone from Gizmodo. Gizmodo definitely did not get that, and, yeah, I guess I can understand that, from Steve Jobs', skewed point of view. He's going to be upset with them for what they did. And,
right.
And maybe rightfully so. I won't get into that again. But I can see that. But to still, if they had purchased, tickets to go to it and, weren't allowed in, that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you're a media outlet, I think that you should purchase the tickets just like everyone else does to go to that conference. You know, if they want to give away stuff, great. But if you want to guarantee your spot at a tech conference, whether it be E3 or Google I/O or WWDC or CES, you know, you probably should buy tickets so that you can be sure that your people can get in there.
Right.
And, you know, Gizmodo dropped the ball on that. Now, granted, you know...
Well, like, I don't think they wanted any more part of...
well, you know, but think about this.
Problems with Apple.
You know, a year ago or 6 months
ago...
They were
just a media company.
Yeah, whenever these tickets went on sale, none of this was happening.
I think if Jason Chen entered his credit card information, it would probably been declined somehow.
Well, I'm just saying, these tickets sold out, I guess they said, in, you know, in a couple hours or whatever, couple days. And, you know, back when the tickets went on sale, there wasn't this big, you know, to-do about the whole iPhone and stolen shit. So.
I'm getting a ticket next time walking around with the Andy costume on.
That's
Andy
right.
Andy the Android.
That's right. I'm just going to paint myself green.
Learn how to skateboard.
Like a topless.
Skateboard around.
It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. Spend $3,000 on a fucking ticket. So, you know, there was a lot of stuff. You know, some people said that they found that, you know, some of it was underwhelming and shit like that. So, you know, good stuff. But, yeah.
So, I actually, on Gizmodo, the live blog that they had, I actually followed theirs primarily.
Yeah.
For, you know, it just, I'm used to, you know, going to Gizmodo and watching it among the other sites. But I actually did use them primarily and found it pretty funny as they made a couple little jabs at Apple from not being there. And, you know, they didn't skip a beat or, you know, they weren't delayed in any way. So I still got pictures of the conference and they still broke it down pretty good. So.
Right.
And the pictures were actually comical at times.
Yeah. Yeah. This year I actually, I didn't even follow it live. I waited for everything to kind of happen and just kind of perused my reader and waited for the video to go up just because, I don't know, for some reason I just didn't give a shit this year. You know, last year, you know, we were... at Panera Bread, you know, jacking some Wi-Fi and, you know, going through this shit, but this year just wasn't happening. but do you want to talk a little bit more about the lies?
Well, yeah, you know, we Americans, we love gossip and conflict, and this definitely did feed into that a little bit, but like we were saying before, you know, sadly, Apple's jabs were pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
So, first off, Steve spoke of, well, he put a quote up on the screen that said, he first introduced, he said that his good friend Theo Gray, at Wolfman Associates, his personal friend, he said, and he said, this was a quote that he had told Steve, he said, I earned more on sales of the Elements on the iPad in the first day than from the past 5 years of Google Ads on periodictable.com. All right.
Yeah.
The Elements was part of a free ad campaign that Apple rolled out for them. If you're Steve's friend, you get this kind of treatment.
Yeah, you get preferential treatment.
Exactly.
You're going to get more exposure.
Completely. And Steve said, we love to hear more stuff like this.
Yeah.
Of course you do. This is propaganda. You guys might as well be trying to... This is how you try and win the wars, with propaganda.
Right.
Not facts.
Right. They like opinions. We like to run our shit based on facts.
Right. So, Sarek...
So it's very skewed.
Right. Thing. Right, Sarek, who's you know, part of the Apple hacking community that he developed Cydia, he had several clever tweets that we'll refer to here. But he said on there, you know, he's like, yeah, something 99.99% of the developers will not get is this, you know, commercial support from Apple.
Right, exactly, so, and therefore, it may, you know, you may not make a lot of money on this shit.
Right. So Steve popped up a few graphs that were meant to display the iPhone's dominance and then the lack thereof of Apple's, Android's supposed dominance. U.S. market share was 9% for the Android, and then 28% for the iPhone, and then 35% for RIM. So he cited 9% for Android, you know, just trying to poke at him a little bit. But, you know, last year you guys weren't even talking about Android. It wasn't even in the picture, so... You know, they're gaining ground.
Definitely on the heels of it.
Right. And the handsets have finally started to get better. You know, they've finally enjoyed their first commercial success with the Droid, and then now the Droid Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So we're it's gaining some steam. 22.7%, excuse me, browser usage versus the iPhone's 58.2%. So that's another comparison. Once again, I mean, I guarantee that Android number is going to almost double.
And you gotta think, these are coming from two different sources. When Google had its I.O. conference, you know, 2 weeks ago, they had, you know, some legit, you know, graphs and studies and sources that showed that they were, you know, more dominant than the iPhone.
Right, and Apple did use Nielsen, which is a pretty well-known, you know, firm that tracks this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's not entirely, you know, skewed from an unknown source and everything.
Right.
But nonetheless, you know, Apple spoke nothing of the ground that they've making up. I mean, if you were to pull the data between this right now, right this moment, and last year, it's astronomical. I mean, Sark even posted on there, you know, he'd love to see the growth rates in comparison.
Right.
So, yeah. Android is here, and it's Steve's, you know,
attention.
Yeah, got his attention in this one, and then we'll just wait till next WWDC, Steve-o.
Yeah. I think it's going to be even more disappointing.
Right.
There's definitely going to be some leaps and bounds with Android and Android phones, with the OS, with all of that. It's just going to be far superior. One thing I want to mention is I was reading this article, and I really didn't care for it too much. But they basically, it was bashing a lot of Android fanboys, which I guess I could probably consider myself, you know, a slight Android fanboy at this point. I definitely am a huge supporter. And, you know, I think I'm more or less a Google fanboy.
Right.
If anything, because I'm pretty supportive of everything Google does right now. And they're fucking awesome. But, you know, basically just, you know, just going on about how, you know, the comparison is different because, you know, iPhone 4 is going to have, you know, these certain features or whatever. But it's not fair to compare it to Android phones because there's so many more handsets.
Right.
You know, handsets. And I understand that, but as an, you know, it's Apple's choice that their OS only runs on the iPhone. Okay? You know, Android decided to be open and left it up to the, you know, the hardware manufacturers themselves to decide what specs they want. So the second that Motorola or HTC or Samsung wants to come out with an iPhone killer, they will.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, they've got the Evo 4G, which, you know, definitely beats out, you know, the 3GS. But then you look at the iPhone 4, and, you know, there's a couple things that, you know, it beats out on the Evo. But the thing is, you know, the year's half over. Right. By the end of the year, there's going to be an Android handset that is going to be superior in every way to the iPhone.
Motorola just reported that their current Droid that they released is still doing very well, selling very strong. The Incredible, you cannot find. The Evo, you cannot find right now.
Exactly.
Sold out. This is fucking awesome.
Right. And
they are selling, they are pushing product.
And there was even a rumor that said that Motorola was going to come out with a 2 gigahertz processor by the end of the year for their smartphones.
Yep.
Which is, you know, twice that of what the iPhone 4 is running.
And the iPhone 4 ain't even out yet.
Right. And here's the thing is, our Droid Incredibles both have a 1 gig, you know, Snapdragon processor.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's a 1 gigahertz processor running in the iPhone 4. It's, you know, it's nothing to beat what we already have.
Right.
So
it's going to be very interesting to see how all of this progresses, because by the time the next iPhone comes out, it's going to be dated. You know, the current iPhone 4 will be dated this time next year significantly.
So. And the great thing about Android is because it's open source, anyone who wants to make the handset and use it can use it. Therefore, it will always be up to date.
Right.
You know, I mean, yep. Our Incredibles could be technically dated by the Evo 4G,
yeah.
But there's always going to be a top-of-the-line Android handset out
there. Yeah,
you're
not on this preset timeline.
Exactly. You're not like, well, I'm going to have to wait a year. Now, it kind of gets rough because the second you buy one handset, a better one's out.
Right.
But that's right. Technology. Right. You know, you kind of have to make your peace with it, go with what you want.
And you can choose the company you like. You know?
Yeah. You know, you can choose all four major U.S. carriers. You can choose over, you know, 3 to 4 different hardware manufacturers. You know, soon to be more. Even Dell's getting into it. So,
right.
Lots of good stuff. But anyways.
The iPhone is a great phone. It really is. The iPhone 4 is going to be a great phone. You know, if you choose either one of these operating systems, the iOS or the Android OS, you're going to get a great phone out of it all. Just one has a lot of bullshit going on, the other right. one doesn't. Yeah, I mean, as far as the average consumer, you know, they're not going to give a shit about a lot of this stuff. But, you know, Apple's putting out a great product. They released some numbers, which were pretty significant. They've had 5 billion applications downloaded.
Yeah.
70% of the revenue still does go to the developer, and to this date, they've actually paid out $1 billion to developers. It's very impressive. People can, you know, live their lives off of making iPhone applications.
Right.
Or iOS applications, as it would be referred to as now. They demoed iMovie.
Yes.
Which was pretty freaking sweet. I'm surprised I didn't read more about this. I probably just read iMovie and just skipped over it. But actually watching the conference, it was very impressive. You can make a interactive slideshow that has background music in it. You can add pictures into it and have the pictures come in at cheeky, with cheeky effects.
Basically anything you can do with
video.
With Windows Movie Maker, you know.
Do right on your
You can do right on your phone. And honestly, I mean, Windows Movie Maker has its times where I'm just like, God, this is such a pain in the ass.
You could probably throw one together on the iPhone in no time.
Yeah. You know, we've seen the video from that. You know, it's going to be a $5 app, but honestly, it's worth it.
Right.
You know, it can output into 360, 5, 10, and 720 P, so you can do 720p HD as far as exporting the file.
Right.
So, and the one that they demoed that was done all on the iPhone really looks sexy.
Right, yeah. When you're coming back from vacation and you just have your phone and with your, when if you're with a friend, you know, normally you just pulled out, swipe through a bunch of pictures and explain them. This way you can, you know, interlace everything together, make a really quick slideshow for your friend to watch, and, you know, it'll zoom in on stuff, and it actually takes the geolocation of the videos and pictures you have on there, so it'll even, you can choose a theme so that it'll actually show where on the map this picture was taken, and it'll, has, you know...
Yeah, all the geolocation stuff is really, I mean, it's pretty sexy.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
You know, I'm excited. So let's talk a little bit about the features, then, of the coming-up iPhone here.
Okay, so instead of jacking up the megapixels as, you know, was as the industry is currently getting over now,
right.
They actually made an upgrade to the hardware portion of the camera so that it can grab the photons.
Photons.
The nuclear photons. No,
that's right.
So, yeah, instead of, you know, jacking up the as many pixels as the camera can grab, it's basically ratcheting up the amount of information that it can grab.
Right, because it's only going to be a 5-megapixel camera, which you and I both called. We both knew that they wouldn't push it to 8, that they would just keep it at 5.
Right.
You know, this one will have an LED flash. It took them 4 fucking iPhones to do this shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why this whole conference was kind of frustrating, because all this stuff should have been introduced on the last conference.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it would have been nice had they introduced some of this stuff. You know, with the first iPhone, like, an LED flash is not a hard concept.
Right.
You know?
Right, absolutely,
you
know,
and I'm not saying we should...
I can understand a lot of that stuff, you know, they always want to do it once, do it right.
Right.
But it's a fucking... It's a flash.
It's a flash. It's an LED bulb. It is... You know, it's simple. You know? Now, the actual... The sensor is going to be an advanced backside illumination sensor, which will help capture better pictures in low light, which is... really big deal, because it's not always sunshiny and happy out. You have low light conditions, whether you're inside, whether you're at a party, whether you're at a concert, what have you. You know, just because you have an 8-megapixel camera doesn't mean that low light's going to be great.
Right.
Now, I've noticed that I, you know, especially with the dual LED flash on the Incredible, I can still take great low light pictures. Sometimes the dual LED flash is a little bit much.
Yeah, they need to work on the timing, I think, a little bit.
And they need to tone it down a little bit. And there's actually a quick, like, you know, jerry-rigged fix for that, but you have to have a case and a piece of wax paper, and it just dulls the LEDs enough that it takes better. But so the camera's going to be great, 5-megapixel on the back. They are going to have a front-facing camera. You know, that's just going to be a standard VGA, you know, like 800x640. You know, nothing special, but, I mean, the front-facing camera is going to be more for, like, you know, like Skype video chat and shit like that. You don't need a super high resolution, especially when you're trying to stream it over 3G or Wi-Fi. You know, so that's pretty cool. HD video recording and editing, we talked a little bit about that. That's going to be pretty badass. I really would suggest, if not watching all of the keynote, to at least watch the part where they demo that. It's finally getting multitasking, which, you know, to us Android users is nothing new.
Right.
But they're finally doing it.
And to us jailbreaking users was nothing new.
Right, exactly. you know, and I guess it, you know, is... They demoed it a while back as far as what they were trying to do with it, you know, when they announced the iPhone OS 4. But nothing really spectacular. It'll do it. I guess we'll see how well.
This was just a just a catching up session.
Yeah, exactly. trying to think of anything else that... Okay, the display is probably the biggest thing.
Their eye retina is the retina industry display. Term for that.
Yeah, now, here's the thing. This is going to have 320 pixels per inch. The human eye can only distinguish 300 pixels per inch. So the quality is going to be so good that your eye will not be able to distinguish the individual pixels.
I wish they would leave that for me to decide.
Yeah, exactly. now, it's pretty sexy. It's going to be fucking nice for pictures and stuff. Text looked pretty good. The demo that they showed wasn't super fantastic because you really couldn't tell from the big thing. But, you know, LED backlight. It's going to have like a 960 by, you know, 800-something or 600-something resolution. So a little bit higher than the 800 by 400 that, like, your phone and my phone has, or the Evo 4G. You know, but these phones came out beforehand. So, but the big thing that they're talking about is this this glass that they're using is supposed to be 20 times stronger and 30 times more, you know, flexible than plastic.
But we've already seen pictures of it broken on the internet.
Yeah, from a 3.5 foot drop. Which is what would happen if you dropped it from your pocket. So I'm sure it'll be a nice screen, but by no means is it going to be indestructible. So guys, you know, girls, take care of your fucking phones.
Yep.
But that's going to happen with anybody. They're using, you know, the glass. It's like two layers of glass with the shit in between. I mean, it's, you know, supposed to be scratch resistant, which is pretty good. You know, I mean, it's a sharper... image, a sharper screen, but everything else, I mean, it's, you know, it's still glass, it's still, you know, gonna pretty much be the same as the other ones.
Right.
You know, regardless of the material they make it out of. Now, one thing I want to mention about this, is, you know, there's a big difference between, like, the AMOLED screens that we have, the OLEDs, and, you know, the technology that they're using, the IPS LCD technology. Samsung decided to go ahead and talk a little bit about AMOLED. And when Steve Jobs was talking at the WWDC, he said, you know, this is going to be a great, you know, screen, great resolution, and no one's going to even come close to how good it's going to be for years to come. And Samsung basically came out and said, yeah, except not so much. You know, and Samsung makes a really sweet, you know, LED TVs and all sorts of different displays. They're no slouch. Even the fact that the monitor that you're looking at is a sexy little Samsung. basically what they said is, hey, you know what? Structurally, the IPS LCD technology cannot catch up with the AMOLED display technology. Basically, you know, they're saying that Apple's saying that their screen is superior to OLED. Samsung says, hey, listen, it offers a 3 to 5% increase in sharpness at a cost of 30% more power use. I'll take a little bit duller, you know, resolution, you know, and definitely keep the battery use out of that.
Right.
And, you know, regardless of that, they have the Super AMOLED display on the upcoming Galaxy S, and it will definitely offer better viewing angles and contrast than the iPhone. So,
once again, another cheap, you know, crappy propaganda, you know, claim from Apple.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, if let's say if Joe Blow on the street said, hey, you know, AMOLED is better than IPS LCD, I'm going to be like, listen, Joe Blow, I don't think you know shit. You need to go back to haggling for change. All right? But Samsung, who is a leader in display technology, it's kind of like when they have something to say, you listen.
Right.
You know? So, you know, little bit of food for thought on that.
Indeed.
Other than that, nothing really big with the features.
So with the front-facing camera, something interesting I did see about that is that they want to make it an open industry standard, which is very important. That, you know, all of these phones that are going to have the front-facing camera, currently the Evo 4G and the iPhone 4, hopefully they will have a standard that will work between the two to make just compatibility better. Obviously, the software like Fring or Skype, you know, that's going to make them compatible. But it's good to see Apple trying to, you know, give out an open industry standard for everybody to work off of.
Right. And I think a front-facing camera is cool. It's not a selling point for me, as I've said before. Like, I think it'd be great for taking pictures of myself. Or, you know, like if you're taking like a group photo with a couple friends.
I just realized what this is going to do. Women will be taking pictures of themselves with their cheeky fucking angles from the sky with their pinched cheeks and at the right angles. Oh my gosh.
It's the fat ones that'll do it. It'll fool you. You won't know. You won't know what's happening.
If I was the leader, I would make front-facing cameras for women illegal.
I'm sorry. You cannot have this phone. It has a front-facing camera. I mean, it really is not going to do much more than that. Video chat is cool, but honestly, I don't see an average person using video chat a whole lot. Now, let's say you're in a situation where you're overseas, and you know, you want to talk to your daughter who's in the States, and you haven't seen her in a while, or you know, whatever. Just one of those random mushy family moments, and you want to do video chat. That's great. The only problem is starting out, the iPhone 4 is only going to be able to do video chat to other iPhone 4s.
Right.
That's it. So it's not like you can be on your iPhone and I can be on my computer and we can video chat. It's not going to work like that. So
I'm actually on the other end of this. I think that it's a huge advancement that everyone will be using in 10 years and that it will be, you know, video calling will be just the default coming forward. I mean, not default 100%, but a good amount of time when your buddy calls you, you'll just put it up on your laptop and you'll be talking to him that way while he's on his phone or vice versa or computer to computer. I think it will become more of a part of our daily lives.
Yeah. I just don't see it as being a huge deal right now.
But, hey, you got to take the first step.
Right. But you know what? Apple hasn't taken the first step. You know, the Evo 4G threw it out there first.
Right.
You know, and like I said, I mean, it's not a selling point for me. It's not like, oh, if a phone doesn't have a front-facing camera, I'm not going to get it. Like I said, I think it's neat, but I don't think it's going to be something that's heavily used at this point. Now, one thing that's nice with the Evo 4G is you can do the Quick and the Skype video chat and all that stuff to a computer or a phone.
Right.
Whereas the iPhone, you know, with the iOS and their closed ecosystem, it's only going to be to other iPhones for now. They might change that next year.
But
you know,
you
the
have
next
to
WWDC,
sit there and wring your hands and hope.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you get to do.
You have to hope and pray that Apple's going to allow this. And it's, you know, I don't know. I just get so sick and tired of it. But, you know, hey, front-facing camera, good shit, whatever. Well,
someone else found all this bullshit underwhelming. And that was the creator of cell phones.
Wow.
Marty Cooper.
The creator of cell phones.
He actually also makes the Jitterbug.
Jitterbug.
Do.
No, I don't know. What the fuck is the Jitterbug?
It is a... He said that current phones are great with all their awesome features. He does carry an iPhone, as well as his Jitterbug.
Oh.
What the Jitterbug is you'll see it at late night commercials. It's for elderly people. It's basically just a standard clamshell phone that has bigger buttons on it and is very simple. Very, very simple.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great idea for older people that just need a cell phone to call people.
So. Man, Verizon's got something like that. Most places now have that for the older people or people who just don't want to fuck with all the cool shit. You know, that just want to use a phone for its original purpose of calling.
Yeah.
You know, they do that, so.
So, Radio Shack's getting in on the iPhone 4 biz.
Yeah.
Radio Shack's always been actually a huge player in cell phones. They're actually part of the success for Verizon.
Yeah.
Because they were one of the, you know, they have huge chains throughout everywhere in the United States, and, you know, they help make Verizon number one, in my opinion, in a lot of others' opinions. So, Yeah, they're getting on the iPhone biz, which is great. I think they should be selling any phone they can get their hands on. And
yeah, I mean, well, they were in on the Evo 4G launch, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Radio Shacks, for those of you who are looking for iPhones and don't want to go to your Apple store or your AT&T store and wait in line, Radio Shack will have them, too, on launch day.
There you go.
Which is, Best Buy is going to be jumping in on that, too, but, you know, we kind of expected that.
Right.
June 24th, I believe, is the launch for the iPhone 4. Pre-orders, I think, start next week, and I guess we'll see how well it does. You're going to have probably people that, you know, already have the iPhone 3GS. They're going to sell their iPhone 3GS on eBay, make some money, and take that and pay the out-of-contract fee and buy the iPhone 4. You know, kind of like you did for the 3GS, because had the 3G.
Now, AT&T is actually rolling out, so not only did they severely shorten the turnaround time for you to be able to get the iPhone 4
to renew your contract,
but they were actually, even for the people that are not eligible to get the iPhone 4 because they just got the 3GS, they actually just announced a few days ago that they're going to be doing some sort of trade-in program. Yeah. So they are really, I mean, it's a no-brainer to try and keep people from doing that, you know, trying to go to eBay. That you want to facilitate all of that you
can. Yeah, they want the money and the control.
Right.
So,
and plus you got that extra $350 to deal with for the cancellation.
Yeah,
which
that's
I
true.
Narrowly avoided.
Yes, you very narrowly avoided it.
Yeah.
That's very nice. So, that'll be launching. We'll see. I mean, we'll definitely go to the Apple store once it launches, and we'll check it out.
Sure.
We'll probably make a couple of videos on the phone
Sure.
just for fun.
Yep.
Because that's what we do. So, cool shit.
So, more AT&T and iPhone news. Possibly fueled by the iPad's unlimited data. They've probably seen a huge hit from that, but...
Because their network can't handle it.
Right, AT&T saying goodbye to the unlimited data plan for
Shazam.
The iPad 3G.
That sucks.
So, this goes for all the plans from my understanding.
Right.
Now, this was to be expected. Verizon has already announced that they're going to have a tiered structure of non-unlimited
for LTE
data plan.
When LTE comes out. Even though LTE is cheaper to send information
for 4G,
over
right.
than 3G, so they're just being greedy, greedy fuck pigs.
Right. So, this was to be expected. They just did it a little earlier, and they sort of follow suit with Verizon on the more expensive early termination fee. So,
right.
You know, it's, you know, they're
so basically
working hand-in-hand, it would seem.
Yeah, so what you're jumping into is for new iPad customers, instead of $29.99 for unlimited plan, you're getting $25 per month for a 2-gigabyte plan. You still prepay for your wireless data plan, and no contract is required. For the existing iPad customers who have the unlimited plan, they can keep that plan or switch the new $25 per month with the 2G. Now, anyone who's, you know, not a complete fucking moron would pay $5 more for unlimited. Now, unlimited in this case isn't really unlimited.
Right.
It hasn't been for a while.
Yeah.
But you're talking $5 more for 3 more gigs, because all unlimited plans for the U.S. carriers are 5 gigabytes of data.
Okay? It should be illegal.
You know, and, I mean, they shouldn't be allowed to say unlimited.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you can either pay $25 for 2 gigs or $30 for 5. Obviously, if you've already got an iPad, your best bet is to stay with the $30 a month plan. Now here's what is, here's what I'm wondering about, because with the iPad, you can cancel at any time and then restart up. Are you going to have to continuously month by month pay that $30 a month? Because if you cancel it once, when you go back to renew, are you only going to be able to do the $25
yeah.
plan?
Yeah, sounds like,
you know, which if that's the case, that's going to suck, because a big selling point of the iPad was there's no contract with the 3G. You know, you get to do it 1 month and not do it the next, and then 3 months from now when you go on vacation, you want to do it again, boom, there you go. And it's just $30.
Yep.
But it looks like that's going to be, you know, a little different there. So, now, we also have to look at this in the way of 2 gigabytes of data, especially on a mobile device. Yeah, is relatively
It's a lot, depending on generous. What you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're talking videos and constant streaming audio, you're going to be pushing it.
You're going to be pushing it. If you're talking about occasionally just surfing the web, it's no big deal.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
You know, so that's not bad. But for heavy users, for those, you know, serious users of the iPad, the people draining out the batteries, you know, as quickly as they possibly can because they're streaming YouTube and they're uploading shit and they're doing this, doing that, attachments, all that. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you might run out of that 2 gigs before the month is up.
Right.
So that kind of sucks, you know, but it's AT&T, so we kind of expect it. So, yeah, that's shitty.
Indeed it is. Going back to how much we love conflict.
Yes.
Google slams Apple over the iPhone ad ban.
Oh, they brought down the ban hammer.
They did. So, Google buys AdMob. Apple tried to buy AdMob, I think, at one point.
They let the buying timeline lapse, and Google swooped in and bought it.
Yep, so...
Big fuck you to Apple.
So now Apple created their own ad.
Their iAds.
Their iAds, and they're apparently making it to where the AdMob cannot get their hands into the iPhone iOS universe anymore.
Right.
So this is a huge, huge deal. We're talking $600 million in ad sales in the U.S. mobile market right now, and it's expected to double by 2013, which is very obvious, as every single person in the world is going to have a smartphone, a genius phone. So yeah, this is a big deal. Apple's decided to play hardball with Google on this issue, and it will no doubt, you know, start tumbling into something bigger and crazier, and we're going to see more crazy stuff like this going forward. It looks like the rumor currently is that Google may actually pull YouTube off of the iPhone.
And other possible apps.
The iOS. It's,
yeah.
Take a while to use that.
It just doesn't flow. It's like the iPad. It just sounds like
I don't
shit.
Think it's bad. I just got used to it.
Yeah, it's whatever. Yeah, now here's the thing. If Google does that, it probably will hurt YouTube slightly at first. But honestly, they're just talking about the YouTube app. It's not like you can't go to the mobile YouTube on Safari and do it.
Does it?
Well, I mean,
they could stop that too.
I guess technically they could stop that.
Now, here's the whole thing. Let's look at this. What does YouTube being on the iPhone do for YouTube? Do they sell ads in the YouTube application? No.
No.
So I guess that the way that they make money is by generating more interest in YouTube and, you know, if people use it on your phone, you'll be more...
The ads that are embedded into the videos.
Those are not displayed in the YouTube app.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Not displayed in the YouTube app. Well, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
When you go on a YouTube video, half the time you gotta close shit.
Right.
But, so yeah, I mean, what are they getting from this, you know? And they can't put their ad mob in there, you know, they're gonna... Yeah, so
yeah, absolutely. They're going to get screwed on that.
Other than generating, more interest in you sharing links with other people, you know, that has a small percentage, a significant but a small percentage in the grand scheme of things. So, do you need more interest in your already, you know,
amazing empire of YouTube?
Yeah,
probably not.
But another way to look at it is as YouTube ramps up in what they offer, you know, you're going to be able to rent videos soon through YouTube.
Right. Subscription stuff.
Yeah,
premium
stuff. So, do you want your YouTube app off there? Or, hell, are they trying to beat Apple to the punch before they get taken off the iPhone? They should change the name of YouTube to Fuck Apple. That's what they should do.
That would be great. Even if for a day,
yes,
that would be amazing.
Push out an update that changes the name to Fuck Apple.
Fuck Apple. I'm going to go to fuckapple.com and watch this sweet-ass fucking video.
Yeah, man.
The way I see it, if YouTube were off of the iPhone, you know, being blocked mobily and being blocked, you know, by the app, you know, taking the app off, I think that would actually have an impact on some iPhone users. I don't think it would be revolutionary and world-changing, but a big thing with Android phones, I mean, you could say, hey, Android phones can get YouTube, no problem. iPhone, no, you can't do that anymore. An iPhone doesn't have a quick app, or not a quick app, but a Hulu app. Hulu has said that they're no longer going to really work on an HTML5 app, so you've really limited the top two video streaming sites right there.
Right.
So that could definitely hurt Apple. We'll see if Google's spiteful like that. I don't blame them for doing that if they do. We both have Android phones, so we're safe.
No worries.
No worries on our end.
Gosh, and that YouTube app on the iPad, that's huge.
Yeah.
People really like that. Howard Stern was recently talking about it. He got an iPad. It was given to him by the Arquettes, David or Arquette, and his lovely wife, Cox.
Something Cox.
Yes.
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox. They actually gave him the best iPhone or iPad out there.
64 gig Wi-Fi 3G?
Yep.
Nice.
And he's in love with it. He absolutely loves it. So it's been funny to hear him talk about the stuff. But by the way, listening on that show, I'm an avid, absolute Howard fan. Listening to them talk about technology is very painful. Because they oftentimes take a while to get to the truth, and oftentimes it's skewed, and they don't end up getting to the correct, you know, thought process in the whole ordeal.
Right.
They actually have a Geek Time, a show on there that talks about nothing but technology and movies and things like that, and even that's excruciating.
I'd rather listen to Adam Carolla talk about technology than
absolutely.
I would Howard Stern.
Absolutely. But Geek Time is hosted by one of Howard's personal friends.
It's a fucking midget. Or a porn star.
No.
I figure
his
if it's on
Howard, Ralph.
It's one
he, has
of the
a,
two.
He has a wart on his face. His name's Ralph, okay. And he loves the iPad. He's a huge Apple guy.
Fanboy.
And, oh, man, he's bad. He's real bad. So, yeah, Ralph, if you ever listen to this, fuck you, and I'll take you on air anytime you want.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Definitely.
Moving on.
Moving right along.
So, there's a lot of stuff that that the Android phone does that's just simply better than the iPhone.
Yeah, we're going to hit a top 10 list.
Sure. Even with the iPhone OS 4, it's going to definitely help, and it's going to make things more competitive. But, yeah.
Yeah, this will be the top 10 things Android does better than iPhone OS.
As featured on Gizmodo.
Yes. Beep. Number 10. I don't know. It's like a David Letterman
top
10 list.
First and foremost, they
first
can run
one.
Multiple apps
at the same time.
Has been able to do it.
Since its inception.
Yes. So,
since its infancy. Since day motherfucking one.
From day one, Google got it.
Day one.
They figured it out.
Yes.
Multitasking. So,
that'll kind of be null and void, but we'll see which, you know, which platform does better at multitasking when it, you know, comes to iOS 4 and Android.
2.2,
bitches.
All right, take us to number two.
Number two, Android keeps information visible on your home screen.
Lovely widgets.
Yes, widgets, customizable home screen, active widgets, you know, the weather widget where it displays clouds and lightning and shit when it's raining and whatever. you know, I've got my Twitter widget up where I can just, you know, see the latest tweets.
I think they call that a private API on the Apple.
Oh, not a private API. Therefore, we cannot submit that app or else.
So you can call it a private API or you can call it shit your fucking phone don't do because it sucks. You can call it that too.
That's right. That's our new name for private API. Shit your phone don't do because it sucks. So yeah, you know, I don't have to leave one thing to go to another with an Android. I got a lot of information visible on my home screen, and that's badass. Number three, Casey.
Android has a better app market.
Now, this
kinda,
one...
I take issue with that.
This one can be debated. You have to look at it in a certain context. Yeah, the Android market is definitely smaller, but there are a lot of iPhone apps that Android, you know, has apps for now.
It's growing, and it will catch and potentially pass the App Store
right.
in its overall.
The big part of this is the openness of the App Store. No more rejected apps. You know, fucking, it's Android, it's open. You put your app on there. Now, this can lead to some frivolous apps, but, you know, hell, the iPhone's got some frivolous apps on it.
Right.
So, it's not necessarily, you know, going to destroy the market, as we've seen. You know, the market has grown exponentially over the last few months.
Right. So, yeah, the policies and things that go along with the Android marketplace are, you know, that's what makes the Android marketplace great. And, you know, it will eventually, it's just like the App Store was, you know, a couple of years ago. I mean, it's getting there. It's just going to take some time.
Right.
So, number four, Jason.
Yeah, Android gives you better notifications.
I love this.
What we call real push notification, not this, you know, wussy shit that emulates push notification.
That's how you do a push notification. That was the best.
Yeah,
you guys go back and watch the keynote.
Oh, from Google I.O.
So good.
So oh my god. Good. Vic Gundotra is my favorite person at Google right now.
I like him a lot.
I do.
And he could win a fight versus Steve Jobs.
Absolutely. He'd kick his fucking ass. Basically, Android gives you awesome notifications. It's not restricted to just pop-up notifications like the iPhone, where the iPhone can only handle one at a time because it lacks the multitasking, and the applications must be open in order for them to make the notifications.
I love the fact, I mean, obviously, that you get push notifications, well, you get all kinds of notifications, whether it's voicemail, text message, missed call. You know, there's just so many different things that can be going on your phone. But if your phone vibrates, buzzes, bings, dings, does anything, if you drop that little menu down, it'll tell you what the
exactly
F is
what's
going on.
Yeah, and that's what's great. You can have 10 different notifications happen at once, and you don't feel overloaded or overwhelmed. You just simply slide down that wonderful notification bar and see them. And if you don't want to deal with them right then, great, hit the clear button. Or leave them there to go back and check. Fantastic. So, number five, Casey.
Android lets you choose your hardware.
Wait, what?
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 You can't use operating systems on any phone you want.
Oh, but you can.
But you can. When they announced Android, this concept just blew my mind and really made me see that Google had a ton of potential in the mobile sector. I remember explaining to a friend this concept that you'll take an and it was just so foreign to him. Even though he knew computers well, he's like, really? He's like, I can't see that, you know? And that's, you know, it's awesome. I mean, you know, you got this operating system that, you know, can be loaded on any phone, you know, that's built for Android.
Even the iPhone. Which has the Android 2.2 on it right now.
Oh, it's so awesome.
So even the iPhone can run Android.
I might
carry
an iPhone one day.
Just to run Android on it.
I might.
That, you know.
I might do it.
That'd be fantastic. If you could dual boot.
That'd
and just, you know.
If with the phones, you know, with the horsepower that these phones are getting, I mean, it's going to be very possible.
Yeah. So that, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
We approach a fine day.
Yes, we do.
So, yeah, that's great. And, yeah, the friend I mentioned, he is carrying a Motorola Droid. So.
That's good. That's very good.
All right, number six, Jason.
Number six, Android lets you choose your carrier. Oh, snap. You mean I'm not tied down to just a shitty carrier like AT&T?
If it carries data, Android will play with it.
That's right. Four top carriers in the United States, plus those abroad. You got Sprint, you got AT&T, you got T-Mobile, and number one, Verizon Wireless.
VZ Dub.
The big red. Any carrier you want, there's an Android handset. Why? Because Android can be on different manufactured handsets.
Indeed.
Oh, snap. So that ties in real well together. I like it. Number seven,
Casey. Android lets you install custom ROMs.
What? You mean you don't have to jailbreak your phone?
Let me say this real quick. These half-baked custom ROMs that Motorola and HTC rolled out, SenseUI for HTC and then the Moto Blur.
Fuck Moto Blur.
They are starting to get a little annoying because it is delaying your ability to update the phone.
Right.
A custom ROM has to be baked for you to put a default firmware onto your phone. It's very frustrating, and with the advances in 2.2 firmware, everyone seems to be hoping that they will give us an alternative to be able to go with the base firmware.
Right.
I don't have a problem downloading the firmware from the company, but let's let your applications be uninstalled freely and not inhibit the progress of updating the phone.
I would be happy to run stock Android. I don't need the SenseUI that comes with the HTC.
Right.
I see where it could be nice, but honestly, most of the things from the SenseUI, I don't even use.
Right.
And, you know, the Evo 4G has the option to turn that off, which is awesome. You can just use the vanilla, which is the base Google, UI platform for Android.
And I don't mind that it's on my phone, though. I really don't. I mean, I understand you want to push your own proprietary stuff. I understand that.
Right.
But allow me to just take it off. You know, if I don't want it, just take it off.
There you go.
So there you go. But it's nice. I mean, there are these things going on. We can fix them with custom ROMs.
Yeah. There are options.
All right, Jason, take us to number eight.
Number eight, Android lets you change your settings faster. Now, this could be of some debate in certain areas, but basically...
It actually cannot.
Well...
I take issue with that. You have to jailbreak your phone to get widgets that will emulate the ability to do a widget on Android.
Right. You can do the certain widgets and stuff to change the settings. Now, the one thing that I think iPhone does is it locates all of its settings for everything in one place.
Yes.
Whereas with Android, you locate the settings in different apps. You know, there is a main settings menu, but, you know, different apps can have different settings, like handset and things like that. Different
right,
add-ons.
So this is arguable.
That's the only place I can say where it's arguable.
Right.
Is that, you know, but if you're talking about just turning on Bluetooth, just turning on Wi-Fi, your radio, airplane mode, you know, and customizing your home screen and settings for that, it's much quicker with Android.
Right. Apple does a lot of stuff right, and their settings is done pretty good. I mean, if you go in there, everything's pretty self-explanatory. Only a few things puzzled me on the iPhone as far as when I used it. You know, a couple of things were sometimes hard to find. But for the first-time user in Android, settings can be pretty daunting.
Right. Yeah. So, take us to number 9, Casey.
All
right.
Android does Google and social integration.
Oh, snap.
So, yeah, I mean, Google's great. If you let it into your life, it will help you with your life and make your life better.
If you embrace it, it will help you.
Yes.
If you build it, it will come.
Right. So,
what?
So, you can, I love the fact that you can tie in stuff like Facebook into your phone directly.
Right.
You know, all my Facebook contacts are not only synchronized and managed, but if they update stuff, you know, it can intertwine itself into my operating system and give me these update features and widgets and
contact pictures and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great that you can take another company's, you know, information and inject it into your Google phone unbiasedly.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, all of your Gmail contacts can get pushed to it. Now, you have the option to do none of this.
Right.
Or all of it or some of it, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, bits and pieces here and there.
And you could turn off the entire feature with one press of a button.
Exactly. So, you know, the integration is great.
One press of a button that you can make a widget right on your screen.
Yeah, that's true. A widget for, you know, a lot of good shit. So, the integration is really key. I mean, obviously, because it's Google, it's going to integrate flawlessly. But it's good stuff. I like it.
Number 10.
Number 10. Brrr, drum roll. Android gives you more options to fit your budgets. Now, this is pretty huge, and this goes along with whatever carrier you want, and, you know, different manufacturers. But, you know, the iPhone, you know, now the 3GS is going to be down to, you know, $99, because the iPhone 4 is coming out. But you're looking at a $200 to $300 for, you know, an iPhone. And there's Droid, you know, Android handsets out there that, you know, you can get for $50, $100, you know, sometimes free. I think for Father's Day, T-Mobile plans on running an all phones free for Father's Day.
That's crazy.
So, you know, that's, you know, the MyTouch. And I don't know if that's going to include the Nexus One, but if it does, that'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of, you know, abilities here. And this goes with the whole openness of the platform. The more open you are, the more options you have, and the more you can customize it to suit your needs.
Right. Let's look at GPS. I mean, if you buy a standalone GPS, you know, you're going to pay for those maps $70. I just checked for a Garmin unit for maps. So yeah, I mean, it completely eliminates the need for GPS with the Google Maps integration, and the maps are live; they're constantly updated. So
yeah.
And, so that's one big saving feature.
And they keep adding stuff. They just added, like, a bunch of new languages and 70 different nations to Google Maps. And, I mean, it's really
spectacular. Google is trying to make the tethering a default on all the Android handsets, but unfortunately the carriers are playing a bit of a role in that. What's great about the Evo 4G is you can tether several people directly to your Wi-Fi. So once you roll out 4G in your particular area, on your Evo 4G phone, you can have your buddies tethered right to you on a multiple meg connection.
Yeah.
So that's ingenious. I mean, and that's all thanks
now,
to
I think
the default
Sprint will be tethered. Charging extra for that use if you don't go by route of routing your phone.
Okay, yep. So yeah, even but you don't without even rooting your phone, PDANet is a free tethering application.
Right.
So you know, with the marketplace being open once again, this is another great reason why the marketplace is open. You can get the tethering set up.
Yeah. So those are the top 10 things that Android does better than iPhone, and for the most part, they're seriously legit. Even with this iPhone, you know, this iOS 4 coming out, it's really still Android's market because
it's Android's party, and you are invited.
Yes. Speaking of root, we got some good news.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the
go, I'll let you break the news.
Oh my gosh!
I'm gonna let you have the honors because I love you, man.
It's
good shit.
It's a good day. No, okay. The Incredible was rooted.
Woo, yeah. Now this isn't the BS shit that was going on last week for Memorial Day and all that kind of shit. This is actual. The Incredible has been rooted.
Yes.
This is confirmed. You're able to root it, and that's amazing.
But you better have some programming skills at the moment.
Yes, so with good news comes mediocre news. Right now, yeah, inconsistent is definitely the word. They found a hack. They're not exactly sure how the hack works, but they know that it does occasionally. You're basically, you know, rolling the dice and seeing if you get lucky.
Right, so that all they need to do is isolate it, wrap it up in a little software, and we'll be good to go.
Right, but they're working on making it easier for us.
That is the one thing I really miss as the dev team for the iPhone,
yeah,
for the iOS.
But thankfully we've got, you know, really good development teams for Android. The Unrevoked team who rooted the Evo 4G before it was even fucking released.
That was awesome.
You know, the Droid has been rooted for a while, Nexus One. You know, I guess for whatever reason the Incredible was definitely difficult to root, even though it had SenseUI just like the Evo did.
Right.
You know, some phones are harder to break than others. And
indeed.
It isn't like the iPhone hasn't been tough to jailbreak at times.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. There's definitely, if you go to the XDA forums, you can check out a step-by-step instruction guide on how to root your phone. It's not simple. It's not easy to understand.
But it will be.
Yeah. And I think they've got a video, too. But the fact that we've got root on here... it's definitely a huge step in the right direction, which means hopefully in about 2 weeks, Froyo on The Incredible.
I predict 2 weeks.
I think...
It's bold, but I predict it.
I you know, I like that. I like that prediction. I think I'll back you on that one.
Thank you.
I think it's good. Some other good shit.
Well, actually, on a side note,
okay.
Those Incredibles are selling very well. They're very hard to get a hold of right now.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for the shortage of screens, they'd be really
selling. That's the whole thing. Samsung is the provider for these screens, and they make their own products, their own screens. You heard them defending themselves with Steve Jobs trying to knock them. I love that, dude. You ain't going to talk shit about me, all right?
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. I'm going to stand up and say, fuck you. Your fucking screen takes up 30% more battery.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Our shit's the shit.
Yeah, our shit is already the shit. Yeah. And come in, you know, 2 months, it's going to be even better than your Retina display.
Yeah, so it looks like the OLEDs are the reason this is getting the delay. HTC has been beefing up their developers for the phone. You know, hiring on people to help them with you know, making the software and stuff for the phone. And so, yeah, go HTC, but we need you to go harder.
Yeah, definitely go harder. And we got to remember that HTC's in the midst of a lawsuit right now, too.
They are.
That
company is exploding.
Yeah. But I definitely, you know, we still haven't heard anything new on that lawsuit.
They make a good handset, man.
I think it's going to be pretty, you know, pretty low-key for now. But, yeah, they do make a great handset. The Nexus One... unofficially get 720p video recording. Now, this is a camera where the hardware was able to do it, but the software just did not support it at the time.
Right.
So, for those who have rooted phones, you know, they basically were able to write the software using the CyanogenMod mod, and, you know, now you've got 720p. So, it's just as good as the iPhone. You know, you're rocking 720p, just like the Evo 4G. You know, hopefully they'll have something like this for the Incredible. I would hope that our camera is capable of that.
Right.
Since the Nexus One, which came out before, and the Evo, which came after, both are capable of it. So yeah, I mean, for you guys that have Nexus Ones out there, get on this shit, because now you've got HD video, recording. And that's sexy.
Absolutely.
That is definitely sexy. So, hit us up with what's next, Chief.
All right, Microsoft got plagiarized, if you will.
Oh, no.
Some features may have been stolen. Some backgrounds may have gone missing.
Oh, no. Well, what happens?
Microsoft, they have no shortage of wit on their Twitter.
Yeah.
when referring to, you know, the old rumor that there were that Steve Ballmer would be at the WWDC presenting. They said, no, he's not going to be doing that, and he won't be on Dancing with the Stars or anything like that. But, yeah, so they posted on their Twitter saying something along the lines of, where did our background go? I think it was stolen. So, yeah, Google's default homepage now allows you to customize the background.
That's pretty fucking sweet.
It is pretty fucking sweet, and I've already chosen my background.
Have you?
It's a rainforest-type theme.
Okay, a little, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's fucking sexy.
Yes, it is sexy.
How the hell did you do that?
It's foggy out in the rainforest.
Yes, it is. Holy shit. How?
How? You can't do it because you're not allowed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that sucks. They are rolling... Oh, bottom left there, Chief.
Oh, advertising programs?
Nope. Keep going. What? Keep going.
Oh, I'll change background image.
Mine actually had a nice little... when I pulled it up, Google was in... The Google logo was all white. It was embossed in the slight gray.
Nice.
It was all white. And then as you moved your mouse around, this crazy background was in the back and said, hey, you can change your background now. So that's what I did.
So that's what you're doing. You can do public galleries, custom themes, or if you've got a Picasa account, which you can sign up for easily, you can upload your own photos and put your own picture.
Yep.
So if it's a picture of you, doing a beer bong in Cancun from, 06.
You can rock it.
You can rock that as your search page. Now, me personally, I'm a big fan of the beach and the ocean, so I'm going to pick an ocean theme probably, because that's where I want to be at all times. But, I'll have to take a look and see what we got here. But, I mean, that's pretty sweet, I didn't realize Bing could do that.
Well, that's the thing. I think they probably took it a step further. I think Bing just generates their own.
Oh, that's pretty fucking sexy. I got the city background going on.
There you go. Oh, that's very hot. Nice. Yeah.
I'm fucking keeping that.
So go Google.
Yeah. Now, you have to... do you have to be signed into Google, like with a Gmail
I just
account?
Tested it, and yes, it does span across all the browsers, whether it's IE or Chrome, and yes, all you have to do is sign in and go to google.com.
Okay, so once you're signed in with your Gmail account, Reader account, Wave account, whatever you have, it'll span across, just like Google syncs its bookmarks and shit like that, like with Chrome, so I can have Chrome on 5 different computers and sync all the same bookmarks. It's going to go across browser and across computer.
Yep.
God, that's really sexy.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. So
it's full sex.
Yeah, so, Bing may have done it first, but Google did it better. Oh, snap. So that's cool. I'll play with that for a little bit.
All right. As we were asking for before, more Google in my car.
Yeah.
Google car's coming, I'm sure. HTC might help them make it.
Hell yeah. There you go.
GM and Ford both are going to be bringing Google Maps into their cars. GM, namely, they're going to be bringing it onto their OnStar eNav systems.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
So that's great. I mean, once again, Google Maps, always updated, constantly updating. You're not going to have to pay extra for the maps. I feel bad for the GPS guys.
They are done for.
Yeah, they really are, and it's disappointing.
It's their own fault.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way technology is going to go. It's inevitable that they're going to go. But, so yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You got the two biggest car companies, American car companies right now, Ford and GM. And we brought to you from earlier Ford, in their new, it wasn't like a Tercel, but it was, a Pinto, but it wasn't a Pinto. It was I don't know. There's some kind of Ford fucking vehicle
Fiesta?
Coming up. Yeah, oh yeah, I thought it was a Fiesta. It's a Festiva.
Who the fuck's going to drive a Fiesta?
Oh, no, I thought it was the Festiva, but it's the Fiesta.
Yes.
That's what it is. They're going to be incorporating the Android system into that, so that's great. So, yeah, GM, Ford, bringing Google Maps. You're going to have directions and everything right now. I mean, I can attest to the fact that I use the Google Navigation now. I used to use VZ Navigator, which I was a big fan of, but for $10 cheaper a month, basically free, I can use these Google Maps navigation, and what I like is sometimes I'll notice it'll take me the route it wants me to go, but it may not always necessarily be the quickest. So sometimes you have to play with it, but you can tap one button, and it'll give you an alternate route.
Yes.
You don't like that route, yes. You tap the button again. You can have, like, 5-10 different alternate routes, and right. It'll tell you the time that it will take you to get to each one. So you can be like, well, I think maybe this way will be quicker, but I don't know. Tap the button, get the route, boom, there you go.
Tap the button.
Tap the button. One button, one tap. That's how Google runs it.
That's right. Well, coming to our last article, back to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Back to the future.
I'm not kidding. AT&T, you ever heard of them?
Who are they?
Cisco.
Cisco.
Comcast.
What?
Dish. EchoStar. Google.
Google.
Called Google.
Google.
Started in a garage. Intel. Level 3. Microsoft. Time Warner. And Verizon. What are these motherfuckers doing together?
Wow. It's a fucking orgy of greatness. Some douchiness, but mostly greatness.
In this day and age, things are going to continue to mesh. You're going to get email on your toaster.
Yeah.
Your pencil will be tied on to your Netflix account.
Your pen will be able to upload to Google Docs whatever you write out.
If you put a Band-Aid on your arm, it's going to tell you who twittered what.
who tweeted or twatted what.
So, it is important for all these things to talk to each other and for sensible policies to be written that will be in the best interest of all companies that are involved, as well as the consumer. And that's sort of what they're trying to do. They had a very broad description on what it is, but basically, in the simplest of terms, it's a tech and policy advisory group. The more complicated explanation would be to develop consensus on broadband network management practices and other related technical issues that affect users. So basically, they're going to make, you know, policy suggestions and help companies formulate policies or help the FCC formulate policies. Or basically, like I said, you know, trying to make decisions that will standardize the industry on these amazing concepts that are coming into play and are, you know, going to be potentially large parts of huge, you know, huge ventures by huge companies. And everything needs to jive, make sense, and not be bullshit or be closed-minded or be a walled garden a la Apple. Notice Apple wasn't in that group.
Yeah, exactly.
They're one of the biggest tech companies in the world now. Ain't in that group.
No. Fuck no. Because you know what? Google's in that group, and I don't think Apple will jump in that. Now, here's the thing I see with this. This could
Google
go two ways.
And Microsoft.
Yeah. I see this as this could do some good, but this could also do a lot of fucking damage. Because I see two companies here that are douche companies. First one's AT&T. All right? AT&T is just, overall, a shitty as far as cell phone network. But yeah, I think AT&T also does, you know, regular telephone lines as well. You know, but they've been known for some douchey practices. Comcast, if I were any of these other people, I would kick Comcast out. Comcast has been...
Well, you need them with you.
Right.
Because they could just make a policy by themselves.
Right.
Or you can be with them and say, hey, you really
It's better
be
to have them on your team because their customers could benefit from this.
You need all points of view, the good and the bad.
You know, but Comcast has done a lot of shitty practices. It's been the target of many a lawsuit. They definitely, you know, they're the ones that started with the whole bandwidth throttling and all that. I think Google, it'll be good to have them on there, especially since they're a huge company with, you know, their hands in everything, and they're going to be doing their own fiber optic network. Verizon, you know, they have their own Fios network, their fiber optic network, along with, you know, landline phones and their cell phones. I think they'll be good. And Time Warner Cable, you know, they've treated us pretty well. I say us, I mean me. I forgot you don't have that out here.
You're right.
But, you know, Time Warner Cable, I'm pretty satisfied with the Roadrunner high-speed internet. Definitely like it better than the Zoomtown or any local DSL shit that you can get. It's a lot of good companies. Hopefully Google, with their Don't Be Evil mantra, will definitely help.
Spearhead everything.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of say, you know, let's be fair on all of this shit.
Right. I think that's what this coalition is for, is let's be fair and let's help the people. I really hope that is what this is all for. I mean, you know, you don't get together to make evil policies like this. You can do that by yourself.
So Apple.
Hopefully, yeah. So, yeah, hopefully this is all good news for everybody.
Yeah, I mean...
Google's in there. That's important.
I think that the, you know, main focus of most of those companies is going to be, hey, we want to do this for the customers. Because, you know, companies out there really need to take note that the reason that they're so fucking rich and have five houses is because of their customers.
Right.
And if they didn't have customers, they wouldn't have a company, and they would be dirt fucking poor.
Right.
So they really need to learn how to treat the customers right. And, you know, and to be upfront with the customers. And most of these companies have gotten that. Some, I hope, will, you know, achieve that through osmosis of the other companies' goodness, like Google.
Right.
But, yeah. So, you know, that's going to be a big, big policy group there.
Yeah, and then, as I was mentioning before, I looked at the quadrangle that produced with the verbs used in the sentence.
What? What? Where'd you come up with that,
Casey?
I'll say
it again. I looked at the quadrangle that produced with the verbs used in the sentence.
It's amazing.
And that's a Gary euphemism.
Gary euphemism. Gary Busey, man.
He's 60-some years old. 65. And he reproduced.
This is the second time he's reproduced.
He has a 38-year-old son.
And now he's got, like, a, you know, 3-day-old son.
And a 16-year-old little girl.
Oh, really?
Yep.
See, wow. This man is procreated.
Many generations of Busey. He's starting his own bloodline that will eventually take over the world.
Yeah, with great quotes and great, you know, crackhead minds. Not that Gary does drugs, but... You might think that he
does.
They
do Gary.
Exactly.
He's so strong-willed. They
Gary doesn't
do
drugs. Drugs do Gary. Because that's how it works.
Have you ever seen weed on Gary?
Some shit, man. This shit right here.
This shit right here on Gary Busey. This Gary Busey. Shit, man.
I got shit I got to do today. Oh,
keep me fucking with you, Gary.
That's right. Well, that wraps it up, man.
All good stuff. We still love our Droid Incredibles, great phones, good times.
Still loving them.
Can't wait for 2.2.
Froyo.
Yes.
I want to give a shout-out to Matt Miller, who's over in Afghanistan. On Sunday, he went on a mission that could be potentially dangerous. So,
God bless him.
You know, definitely want to keep our thoughts and prayers with him the infantry group that he's with. Anybody else out in Afghanistan, you know, listen to this. We definitely support you guys, and definitely want everyone to come home safely. And anyone in the armed forces, wherever you're at, whether you're in Tokyo or Korea or Iraq, you know, we're definitely all about the armed forces and patriotism.
Absolutely. Coalition forces as well.
Yeah.
I think the expression is God bless and pass the ammunition.
Yeah, I like the expression America. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So, thanks guys for listening. We appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. Be safe if you're in danger.
And we'll catch you next time.
All right.